The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
The Devils jumping all over the Habs after they were in part stoned by Marc-Andre Fleury for their third consecutive loss. How you doing, Pierre?
Very well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I mentioned to the boys here before I left the studio, I said, by the time I get home, it's going to be 3-0. And it was 4, basically.
Yeah, you were bang on. You should have gone to Vegas. I mean, you were on it. And biggest thing you heard the coach say, and that's what I was concerned with, is matching New Jersey's intensity. Everybody judges a team based on the stat column and their one loss record, but they very seldom watch the entire game. The Devils, over their previous three games, had clearly deserved a much better fate, and they were starting to amalgamate Patrick Maroon into their lineup. They were starting to get, obviously, more healthy on the back end. There were some guys playing with nicked-up situations. And last night, they took it out on Montreal. They really did, and I wasn't surprised by that at all.
Pierre, there's a lot to like about this Devils team. Their time isn't now, though. And you know, if you beg to differ, go ahead. But I wonder about their goaltending. You know, Corey Schneider, this is now 2 years. He hasn't been great. He's been okay. At times he's been really good, but he hasn't been the Corey Schneider that we saw 2-3 years ago. And the backup last night, Kincaid, I think most teams would have filled the net the way that he looked against the Canadiens last night.
Everything you just said is more than fair, and it's very balanced. So I'll kind of give you a little bit of the Coles Notes version. Corey didn't have a good year last year. They traded out goalie coaches. They brought in Rolly Melanson. They let Chris Terreri go. Terreri was an iconic figure around the Devils organization because of the way he played when he was there. So he moved on. He's now with the New York Islanders, helping them out. Then they brought in Rolly because Rolly had worked with Corey Schneider in Vancouver. And at the beginning of the year, if you remember, back to when the start of the year was happening and the Devils were this new resurgent group, everybody was talking about how well Corey was playing, and he was. Then he got a little nicked up, and then he got a little bit more hurt, and now he's having a hard time getting it back in. I'm not surprised just because of the injuries, but you would be right. And something you said that I think was really bang on was that this isn't their time. They know it's not their time now, but they're going to cause some problems here in the playoffs. They know legitimately that they're not winning the cup, but they're going to cause some problems here. They really are. And next year, I would tell you, I'm telling you a year in advance, they're going to be really dangerous. Really, really dangerous. They're one of the teams that the Rangers looked at and said, we got to start a rebuild now because we're not going to be able to keep up with these guys.
Pierre, I hate to keep bringing it back to some of the same topics, but it's been that kind of year. Jonathan Drouin had a rough night again. He wasn't alone. Yeah. He was hardly alone. But he and it's kind of he's kind of taken on some bad habits on the ice, very long changes, kind of lazy player changes. Pacioretty was doing the same thing when things weren't working out for him. This is Mark Denis this morning with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Sean Coleman in for Rick Moffitt.
I understand it might not be fun to be a number one center on this team right now when you're not winning and the game is 4-0 and you're an offensive player and nothing's going your way, but it doesn't mean you just can't take your foot off the pedal or just start to put the car in park. You need to get going.
Like, if you're watching the game, if you're a scout, if you're somebody from, you don't even have to be a hockey expert to notice stuff like that. Claude Julien today, I think, was attempting to defend him.
You know, there may be a little bit of frustration at times that creeps into his game and certainly doesn't help him. But, you know, I think he's been getting better at fighting through that. It's been, you know, it's been a tough year for him. He's got line mates that have to take some ownership and, you know, at one point they have to take charge and make sure that every game they're creating opportunities.
All right. I don't know this for a fact because what? What?
That is called polishing the apple. Knowing that you have an asset that you are not going to be able to move, and you better make sure that you don't alienate him in year one of a gigantic contract. That is what that is called.
Okay, so that answers that question.
Yeah, and then I don't blame him. That's what a smart coach with veteran experience would do. A young coach would go off the handle and alienate the player right away. And guess what happens to the young coach a year later when the team's not doing well? He's out and the player's still there. So that's a coach that actually has been fired before in the league more than once. And he understands the rules of the road. And that's the proper thing for him to do publicly. Behind closed doors, you cannot accept lazy shifts, long shifts, lack of effort. Because when guys are getting paid, and I think I told you this story many moons ago, but I'll tell it to you again quickly, especially for the young ones. I remember we were playing the Chicago Blackhawks in a game in Pittsburgh, and I was in those days the home bench was across the ice from the locker room. So you have to walk across the ice in the old Civic Arena to get to the bench. And I said to Scotty, with the lights out, this is a huge game tonight, huh? He pulled the back of my jacket. I almost wiped out. And he said to me, you getting paid? I said, yeah. He says, every game's a big game, and every day is a big game in this league when you're getting paid. Every single day, prepare like it's a playoff game. He couldn't have been more right. It was lesson learned, and I never forgot it. And every player needs to know that. I know it's a different time, but salaries are exorbitant more than ever before, and players need to be aware that they are professionals. And there's a price you have to pay. And nobody's going to feel sorry for you if somebody's made a mess of your cornflakes. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you in this league.
Okay, so on that relationship, the Julien Drouin relationship, in private, how do you maintain a level of accountability and discipline without alienating and risking a tune-out factor?
Well, if he's tuning you out now, you got a major issue. And that's where ownership's got to get involved. I'm just telling you, if he's tuning out now or potentially tuning out, again, I don't know this, but if he is, you got a big problem because ownership went to the wall to get this guy, and they're paying him gigantic money, which if Mitch remembers, and I'm sure he does, I didn't think was appropriate at the time that he got it, and I said so on the air. So we'll see. But in terms of keeping him on the straight and narrow, I think the most important thing for him is to be respected by his teammates. And if his teammates stop respecting him, then it's a problem. And if the only way they'd stop respecting him is if he stopped working and didn't care. And I haven't seen that yet. I hope I never see it, but that's a big part of it. It's a huge part. And you can ask Mark Denny this. Once you lose the respect of your teammates in the dressing room, you got a problem, a big problem.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I was wondering why they wouldn't put him on the wing and see if they get a more productive and looser and more relaxed and less uptight, less tense, more involved player up front down the stretch to at least build on something towards next year. Unless they have two centers that they're about to drop in to the lineup at training camp in September that we're not aware of.
They just signed two today.
Yes, they did. To three-year contracts. They would have lost them in the, right?
No,
they would have
lost
them. Will Bitton, good-looking prospect, Will Bitton.
He's a legit prospect. I wouldn't call him an A-level prospect, but he's a legit prospect. He's a point producer is what he is. He's not overly large. He scoots around really well. He's a legit prospect, absolutely.
Yeah, and the other guy being Michael Panzetta, who was a sixth-round pick of the Canadians, and he was actually a team captain, though, in Sudbury before he got traded this season to Sarnia.
Yeah, he's a different kind of player. He's not a huge point getter. He's more of a stabilizing player. But, you know, again, a prospect. Both are legit prospects. I wouldn't call them A-level prospects, though.
In the NHL Players Association poll of over 400 players who responded, what quality do you most appreciate in a teammate? 26% said work ethic, 14% team player, 7.7% honesty, 6% loyalty, 3.8% respect. But it all flows from work ethic.
It all does, everything. You know, one of the reasons why 87 survived as long as he has in Pittsburgh and done the miraculous things that he's done, his work habits are impeccable. Impeccable. His training regime is insane. You know, I'm looking at Sean Couturier here with Philadelphia, and he made the league as an 18-year-old. And, you know, he had to change. He was a 90, back-to-back 96-point player with Drummondville, comes to the NHL, and Peter Laviolette says, you're going to be our third-line center, and you're going to be a shutdown defensive center. So now he's having his best offensive year he's ever had, and it's this year. And it's because they've turned him loose offensively. But there's a guy that put the work in so that he didn't become stagnant. And work habits matter the most. I remember putting Chris Pronger as a roommate with Brad McCrimmon, the late Brad McCrimmon, because I wanted Pronger, who had unbelievable amounts of talent, just crazy good talent, to learn what it was to be a pro, because Pronger used to just be able to do whatever he wanted because he was so darn good. But I also knew that if he got serious work habits, and Brad McCrimmon, just for the younger people in the audience, he broke in Raymond Bork in Boston, and he played with Mark Howe in Philadelphia. Those are pretty good partners to have and to see work habits with Mark Howe and Raymond Bork. And Brad was able to do that with Chris. It really helped him a ton. So work habits should never go away. That's critically important to any player.
We're going to finish up where Pierre is, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, with Wayne Simmons coming back for the Flyers on NBC tonight. But first, causing quite a stir, as you can imagine, here today. Jeff Molson was answering questions from fans in both languages.
Yeah, that's right. It's part of the Like a Boss segment, which he does once a month or so at the Canadiens website, canadiens.com.
Le plan pour l'équipe dans le futur et l'équipe pendant l'été, c'est d'amener un peu de jeunesse, un peu de rapidité, puis un peu plus de caractère sur l'équipe. Mais en même temps, je pense que nous avons déjà un noyau de joueurs qui sont très bons et qui nous ont démontré dans les dernières années que c'est une équipe qui est capable de gagner. On a juste connu une saison difficile cette année et je suis persuadé que Marc va tout faire pour être prêt pour septembre.
All right, I hope you're able to catch
all that. Was outstanding. First of all, his French was outstanding. Secondly, a lot of what he said is true. That's what they need to do. They need to get younger. They need to get quicker. They need to have more character. That's all true. They do have some young guys playing. Not a ton of them, but they've got a few of them. So I thought that was a report. Why would that cause a stir?
Well, because the part that you didn't allude to, I'm convinced that Marc Bergevin, by next September, will have basically figured all this out.
Okay.
Well, and I know you have addressed loyalty before, but but beyond that, I mean, what do you suppose has convinced, beyond loyalty, has convinced Jeff Molson that Marc Bergevin can clean this up?
He must have presented him with an ironclad plan in Jeff's eyes. It's what I talked to you about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think I was still in Korea, where we talked about, you know, how do you make this work? Well, you have to have a plan. And it can't be throw stuff against the wall to see if it sticks. It's got to be an ironclad written plan, what you're going to do, what's your draft philosophy, what's your trade philosophy, what's your contractual philosophy with players, how are you going to address your revenue stream as a manager, meaning you've got $8 million extra dollars to spend on the cap. How are you going to do it? What are you going to do to try to lure John Tavares? Those kinds of things. So that has to be discussed. And more than just in a job interview situation, you have to show that you've actually started on your plan. And he clearly must have sold Jeff on his plan, because that's the only way I could see Jeff saying what he said. He is an unbelievably loyal person. He's not a dummy. He's a smart man. And I'm sure he was convinced that the plan that Mark presented with his staff is going to work. We'll see. I think there's more pain to come. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you. I know what teams are trending up, and I know what teams are staying the same, and I know what teams are trending down. And they're not trending up right now. I'm just being honest with you. They're not.
Well, and I don't know how anybody can. Even in a best-case scenario with Weber and Price back, healthy and productive in typical seasons next year, that is, again, unless they sign John Tavares or have some magic formula to address the middle of the ice, they're in trouble.
They're not trending upwards. Florida Panthers are trending upwards. Columbus Blue Jackets are trending upwards. New Jersey Devils are trending upwards. Tampa Bay Lightning still got bazillions of prospects. They're trending upwards. Boston Bruins are trending upwards. Toronto Maple Leafs are trending upwards. I still think Ottawa's going to trend upwards. You'll see. So just in the Eastern Conference, they're surrounded by teams that are trending up. They're not staying the same or going down. They're trending up. I think Washington will dissipate a little bit next year. I think Carolina might dissipate a little bit because I think there's some friction there with a brand new owner. So New York Islanders, nobody knows. No, because Tavares, you mentioned it, is a huge key. Rangers are going through a rebuild, but it looks like they've speeded up their rebuild, which is kind of neat. So we'll see how that plays out. But no, you're right on. I mean, you're right on the mark, Mitch. I don't know, even the most optimistic person that Canadian fans could say, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to be a cup contender next year. Look at what we have compared to the other teams.
So the blueprint that Bergevin showed or talked over with Molson, that presumably Molson approved of, which is why Bergevin is going to get a chance to continue in the job, presumably this is more than just 1 year. I mean, you can't go with a lame duck GM who's on a month-to-month relationship with his boss.
That I don't know. But I think it would behoove him and the organization to get off to a really good start next year. They cannot have the same kind of situation as they had this year, because then it gets ugly in a hurry. Fans in Montreal will only take so much, especially if you haven't told them yet. You know what? We're going to do what the Rangers did. We're going to do a rebuild. Then I think I do believe if you told them and showed them exactly what you were trying to do, I think that wouldn't be an issue. But they were told this year before the season that their defense was better than a year ago, and it wasn't. So they've already been told something that wasn't true. People don't like that. And if they're being told next year, oh, yeah, we just had to make a couple little refinements, now we're really going to compete for the cup, and it doesn't happen out of the gate, you got an issue. You got a major market issue.
Pierre, hearing you talk about the teams that are trending up, it just makes it feel like such a uphill climb for Canadian fans, and I guess at this point it kind of is. But I'm just wondering, like, where do you figure the Canadians factor in with the teams that are kind of in the same spot as they are right now? Like, you mentioned Ottawa and New York quickly, but just Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa, the Rangers, those teams that are kind of trying to do the same thing as the Canadians, how do you group them all together?
Yeah, it's a great question. Man, oh man, that's such a good question. I think Montreal's got a little bit of an advantage on all those teams because of the Carey Price factor, the Charlie Lindgren factor. I think even Antti Niemi, depending on what they do with him, I think they've stabilized their goaltending, which is really important. I know people will poke fun at what I just said because of the year that Carey's had, but it's, I wouldn't overrate this year in terms of him and how he struggled. He'll be fine. I really believe that he's still got game left. So I think they've got a bit of an advantage. A lot depends on what are they. Here are the telltale signs. What do they do with Galchenyuk? What do they do with Pacioretty? What do they do with Drouin? How are they going to make their defense better? Those are all really pressing issues that they have to answer. And they have to answer before training camp starts next year. All those things need to be answered.
Yeah. If training camp starts and Jonathan Drouin's in the middle of the ice, that'll
problem.
Answer.
You got a problem.
Yeah.
We agree.
By the way, are you surprised? I'm going to go through a lot of this NHLPA poll with Gord Miller after 6 o'clock. Which goalie is the most difficult to score on?
Carey Price.
41% said Carey Price. Jonathan Quick at 12%.
Yep. Yeah. No, I would agree with that though. I would say one guy that should have been mentioned that wasn't enough is Pekka Rinne. I think Pekka needed to be in there, and I was shocked that Vasilevsky in Tampa wasn't on that list.
That's why I bring it up. I understand the players, you know, they when Carey Price is on, how difficult he is. But
right.
Vasilevsky, maybe I don't know, not
well,
enough
he's
players.
Young. He's young, and they probably don't. A lot of the guys in the West probably don't see him very much. Well, they don't. They only see him once or twice. But I was really surprised that Pekka wasn't mentioned more robustly in that poll.
And before you joined us, I was talking about how you keep waiting. Some of us keep waiting with the injuries for the Bruins to slide a little bit, and then
puck hit the linesman, so it's free to the Bruins. Over the line, near side, now Riley Nash, near circle, into the slot, Krug shoots, Howard the save, rebound, backhand, they score!
Brad Marchand, again, with the game winner in overtime early, hat trick, 5 points. Is he creeping into the MVP talk?
I think he is. I don't think he'll get it, but I think he definitely is. He's been good for a long time, as you know, and what he's doing now without Patrice is pretty amazing. It shows you, though, the value of pro scouting. I'm not sure a lot of people really knew who Riley Nash was unless they were fans of the Edmonton Oilers, where he was one of three first-round picks in the same draft. Alex Plant, the other first-round pick, played for Korea in the Olympics this year, and Sammy Gagne is playing in Vancouver. Those were the three first-round picks of the Oilers. Nash is probably playing as well or better than any of them. Or if you were a fan of the Carolina Hurricanes where Riley played, or if you watched Cornell University when he played his draft year. So with Riley's done a great job. It shows you the value of pro scouting. How many people knew about Sean Corrali? How many people knew about Noel Acciari? Anybody could have had those players. So it shows you the value of pro scouting. Their pro scouting has been phenomenal under Donnie Sweeney. I just give him a lot of credit. Tim Schaller's another one. I mean, he played at Providence. He played at Providence with Acciari. He's been great. Anybody could have had him. He was a free agent. Buffalo let him go. Pro scouting is huge.
All right.
A gigantic part of this business, sorry to tell you.
No, it's just Pittsburgh and Philly tonight in Philadelphia. I mentioned Wayne Simmons is back. They are separated by 1 point in the standings and right behind Washington. It's all out there for you. If you're not going to a concert tonight, this is the game to watch. What do you expect?
Oh, this will be like a playoff game. Both teams this morning had an intensity level to them, and the Flyers obviously haven't played well in their last three games, so they're going to be ready to go. They had a really tough two-step down in Florida where they got beat by Tampa. They gave up 7 goals, one in a shootout situation, and then obviously they got beat 4-1 by Florida the other day, and all 4 goals were the same. They just sliced and diced the Flyer defense through the middle of the ice with stretch passes. So I got to think there'll be an intensity level on the defensive side of things for Philadelphia. Pittsburgh looked like they were ready to jump right out of the building here this morning. They looked really good. In their last 11 games, they've won 8. They've been very, very good. And, you know, Malkin's starting to trend upwards. Kessel's had a phenomenal year. I think Letang is really, Christopher's starting to get back to where he used to be. So they're, you know, they're Pittsburgh. They're a beast to play against. They're very, very difficult. I think if they could have done more at the trade deadline, I would have been very quick to say they probably had a legitimate chance to get a third cup. I'm not sure they did enough at the trade deadline. I really don't know if they're going to have enough just because of the fatigue factor.
Hmm. And by the way, Washington lost in Anaheim last night. Braden Holtby.
Braden's not playing well.
He was yanked again.
I know he's not, and I felt terrible watching that because it looked like even though he started to reel it in the outdoor game in Annapolis on Saturday night, he started that game, and I made mention of it. I know Mike Milbury did as well on our show. He looked uncomfortable. He really did. And last night, I don't know if you agree, Mitch, he looked uncomfortable last night again.
He
really
just 6 goals on 9 shots, and that was it. 4-0, the final score. Pierre, looking forward to this one tonight, and we'll talk about that and much more tomorrow. Thanks as always.
Oh, my gosh, my pleasure, Mitch. Thanks a lot. And enjoy the hockey tonight. It should be good.
At the end of the day, I am a Penguin.
Look, I know you're very busy, but stop for a second and listen. Whether you're running your own business...